any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, it seems to me that the United States of America, when I've ever been more ashamed of this nation. Last night we had this primetime January 6th committee hearing. It was propaganda from beginning to end. If there was a single true sentence that was asserted during the entire event, I missed it. A couple of the highlights were really disgraceful. They had someone on there who was supposed to be a Secret Service agent giving his inside information about Trump, but they did not identify him. You did not see him. His voice was distorted. And when I observed to my wife that this could be completely fake, we have no idea whether this guy is real, she flipped out, just got so angry. And, it was very, very unsettling. Then they had another, which was Trump preparing to give a talk, telling everyone to go home. And they showed, multiple takes. We wanted to get it right. And it was a form of betrayal of whoever revealed this. Because, he's entitled to figure out how to get it right. That he didn't want to say the election was over. Look, I'm looking at the Wisconsin State Journal. The headline right at the top, aide, he poured gas on fire. Trump didn't want to say election is over. Washington, despite pleas from aides, allies, Republican congressional leaders, and even his family, Donald Trump refused to call off the January 6, 2021 mob attack on the Capitol, instead pouring gasoline on the fire by aggressively tweeting his false claims of a stolen election and telling the crowd of supporters in a video address how special they were. Well, I'm just telling you, the election was stolen so massively. Every time I read one of these claims about these reports about his false claim, I want to barf. Our newspaper, our mass media become nothing but 100% propaganda, 24/7 bullshit, just more bullshit. I'm sick of it. And the Democrats have disgraced this nation beyond words. It goes beyond putting this moron, this guy who is suffering from dementia, in charge of the nation, putting the whole nation at risk, maybe the United States a laughingstock of the world. And then having a complete airhead, a dipshit for a complete vice president, give me a break. This is a joke. It would be a farce if it weren't so serious. Then trying to justify because having stolen the election because they knew Trump was going to clean their clock, they're now trying to make sure he won't clean their clock for the third time in 2024. Here's more of what it says. The next day, he declared anew, I don't want to say the election is over. That was in a previous unaired outtake of a speech he was to give the following day, shown at Thursday night's primetime hearing of the House Investigating Committee. The committee documented how for 187 minutes from the time Trump left a rally stage, sending his supporters to the Capitol, to the time he ultimately appeared in a video at the Rose Garden, nothing could move the defeated president who watched the violence unfold on TV. Even a statement prepared for Trump to deliver, which said, "I am asking you to leave the Capitol Hill region now and go home in a peaceful way," could not be delivered as written without Trump editing it to repeat his baseless claim of voter fraud that sparked the deadly assault. So go home, he did say. We love you. You're very special. I know how you feel. But Trump was right. On virtually every single issue where he's spoken out, Trump has been right. Now he botched the vax. We now have the report that Deborah Birx even admits now that she and Anthony Fauci, Tony the Rat as I refer to him, made up the six-foot distancing rule. They were just making it up. It was complete bullshit from the beginning, total bullshit. And she put it in a book. Just disgusting. And here you have these sanctimonious, self-righteous, phony, fraudulent Democrats lying to the American people. Just lying, lying, lying. It's unending. It's unending. Ceaseless. Putting the party ahead of the nation. They couldn't care less about the American people. They don't give a damn. But there's so much more in the Wisconsin State Journal. They have another whole effing page. Take away from primetime hearing right at the top. This is on page A7. And furthermore, about Trump attacking Trump at the bottom. Just disgusting. No one who has looked at the evidence, for example, the three-day marathon where our pillow guy, you know, just ran massive proof of the theft of the election. Or look at the more recent 2,000 mules. How could anyone have any doubt this election was stolen so massively? And yet you have these unbelievable frauds. You have the mainstream media abdicating every responsibility, any sense of duty to report the truth. I mean, virtually without exception. We have a couple clear voices, in particular Tucker's done the best job by far, which is why he now has a top-rated show on cable television. But don't let yourself be played. I mean, this is just stupid. This is insulting. This is embarrassing. Now, the Epoch Times has just released a documentary. They released it at midnight last night. I was up at 3:30, believe it or not. Came down to check, and I found it, and I watched it. It's an hour and 42 minutes. If you actually subscribe to the Epoch Times, you can watch it for free. It's very good. I have done other reports about January 6th. There's more that could be included here. But, I mean, look, I mean, the most basic elements of this case are being grossly misrepresented. They're editing Trump when he said, for example, at the end, go peacefully over and let your voice be heard. They cut that out. They don't say, allow Trump to say what he actually said. They distort the timeline. Trump kept speaking to 1-11. The events at the Capitol were already well underway by the time Trump supporters got there. They were a mile and a half away at the ellipse. They weren't even there when it all broke out. Remember, I've reported how many times James, the brother of John Sullivan, explained how his brother led 226 Antifa members dressed as Trump supporters into the Capitol to create chaos. To create chaos. This is all thoroughly documented. Thoroughly documented. Now, if you don't have a subscription to the Epoch Times, you can... I'd encourage you to get one. I mean, that's, I don't recall how much. It's not very much, and it's a really good. This is one of the best. This is better than the New York Times Head and Shoulders. The New York Times has become a Democrat propaganda rag. I used to have people who swore by the New York Times. They lived and died by the New York Times. They thought the New York Times was God's gift to humanity. Today, the New York Times is nothing. It just reeks of bullshit. Reeks of bullshit on every single page. Reeks of bullshit. The New York Times, would you believe the New York Times is our nation's newspaper of record? In other words, what's reported in the New York Times is supposed to be the official history of the United States, and it's nothing but bullshit? Well, it's accurate to this extent. The history of the United States has become nothing but bullshit. So that's accurate to that extent. It's accurate. What's gone on in Washington, this most corrupt entity I've ever seen, This Democrat Party is just absolutely, unbelievably authoritarian, zealous, corrupt, unconstitutional, undemocratic, denying Americans their basic. They've got all these people locked up because this mayor of Washington, D.C., and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer were so eager to try to fabricate an event that would trash Trump and try to destroy the MAGA movement because they knew it was so powerful that Trump had connected with the American people, and they weren't going to abandon him. So they had to do something monstrous. Well, by God, they did something monstrous. Mitch says, toilet paper of record. I like that, Mitchell. That's very good. Toilet paper of record. Very good. Very good. Now, it'll turn out, if you don't subscribe, you can watch this thing for $4.99 tomorrow. Today it's free if you subscribe to the Epoch Times. Now, I highly recommend. I want to give you a sense of what it's all about. It's an hour and 42. I'm going to play 10 or 15 minutes, give you a sense of what's going on here. I think this is very good. And I think when the American people put two and two together, I mean, no one's going to have the time of day for the Democratic Party. They have destroyed themselves. This is just so disgraceful. I'm on the verge of vomiting. It's that bad. Listen to this.
They dragged her out, and it reminded me of deer hunting. You drag out a deer carcass.
We need more ammunition.
He was completely out of control. He himself was committing crimes in the process.
People from all over the nation, from every state.
There has been a lot of fraud.
He could stop this.
At least one person over here is being injured and taken away.
Capitol Hill, overtaken by America.
The story of January 6 changes drastically, depending on who's telling it. The House Select Committee on January 6 has deemed the incident an attack on the American system, comparable to the bombing of Pearl Harbor, or even the terrorist attacks on 9/11. It's being investigated as a potential insurrection that could allegedly incriminate former President Donald Trump. And it's being used domestically to frame a new narrative on domestic extremism. Yet is this narrative really the case?
Imagine if the American people actually saw just what happened to Roseanne Boylan and these officers who keep portraying themselves as heroes that day.
He fires at her and strikes her in the left shoulder. It's a failure not only of training, but it's also a failure of bystandership and supervision.
January 6th demands a full and impartial investigation, one free from foregone conclusions, hidden agendas, and naked hyperbole. The nation needs a serious examination of January 6th, one that includes the subjects too often ignored in media coverage and in political speech. With interviews, on-the-ground reporting, and exclusive footage, we'll now tell the real story of January 6th.
Yeah, we're on the ellipse now. We'll meet you soon. Good stuff. Thank you.
To begin this investigation, I sat down with Jill Hanneman, the lead reporter on January 6th at the Epoch Times, to review our footage.
January 6th started out as a protest, a large gathering to hear President Trump speak about his concerns and his charges that there was widespread fraud of the presidential election. And people came in very large numbers to the Ellipse in Washington, D.C. to hear his speech.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved. Stop the steal.
His speech ran long, or his appearance went overtime. And I think that caused some issues over at the Capitol, because there were people gathered over there who were already in the process of breaching some of the security lines before the president had stopped speaking. So the people that were encouraged to go to the Capitol peacefully and made their voices heard were largely still over listening to the president. when some of these unusual things happens on the Capitol grounds. It really goes to the heart of other unusual happenings that day, the role of suspicious actors in various places around the Capitol, and all of which lead you to the conclusion that a deeper look is needed to really define that, what January 6th is, because we're still trying to define it.
People are talking about violence on January 6th. How did the police factor into this? I mean, who was really instigating things? Which side?
Well, there was plenty of police provocation. The initial use of explosive munitions that day started at about 1:25 in the afternoon, where the police launched explosives into the crowd, which was pretty much just kneeling there and standing. And these were very loud, deafening. And some of them had projectiles, hard plastic pellets that rained down, and some had tear gas in them. But when they landed in the middle, they caused injuries, and they got a very angry response. That was a large crowd. From what I saw, there was quite a few older people in that crowd, and they fired munitions even far to the back, people that wouldn't have known what was going on up front. So this created an atmosphere that I think percolated through the rest of the day, and they continued firing into this crowd well over an hour using those, what I would call, heavy munitions. So I don't know what their strategy was in using munitions, which they had said they were not going to use the less than lethal force munitions and things like that on January 6th.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force? And what are the legalities of this? We spoke with Stan Kefard, one of the nation's top experts on police use of force and one of the top-rated expert witnesses in court cases on crowd control. Kefard has 42 years of law enforcement experience, including as security director for the 1984 Summer Olympics in Los Angeles. He served as an officer, detective, undersheriff, and chief of police at jurisdictions in Arizona, California, and Missouri. He has testified more than 350 times in federal, state, and tribal courts.
Supervisory failure. A frontline supervisor, a sergeant, or whoever's in control, a lieutenant, should have put those people in posted positions or in a skirmish line or in a defense posture, put them between the objective that they were protecting and the crowd. That wasn't being done. That was a shooting gallery up there, a congregation of officers. I didn't see a supervisor among them who were using these munitions to inflict harm and injury on people below them. It's egregious. Rubber bullets have the potential to put an eye out. Shooting down into a crowd at the head level, which is the first primary target that would be hit by those rubber bullets, runs the risk of having somebody's eye put out or having them permanently disfigured. Impact front on from ground level is designed to hit somebody in the chest or lower so that it will sting and put them in flight. That is the design and purpose of the tool.
Hey, hey, fire! Hey, fire, fire! Hey, you good, you good? Hey,
fire! These are people who largely support this law and order, back the blue, so they did not understand why they were being fired upon. These were throughout the crowd, so there was definitely a stirring the pot effect, and eventually it did come to a boil in certain areas. The protester was climbing the wall. He had seen somebody put a giant American flag up on the scaffolding for inauguration, and he wanted to put his Trump flag up. He scaled the wall, and when he got up there, he didn't have a chance to put the flag up. A couple officers took swipes at him over the rail and missed him, but then he actually got into a standing position, and a motorcycle police officer from Capitol Police came up with a pretty good stride and shoved him, and he fell at least 20 feet. And was seriously injured. That was witnessed by a lot of people. And then when they carried him out, a lot of the crowd saw the after effects of that and they were very upset.
My analysis of a police officer pushing somebody off the wall is that that individual is committing a crime, a very serious crime, again, putting that person's life at risk. It is unconscionable for an officer to do such a thing. The officer is required to take that person off the wall, strip cuff them, take them into custody and arrest them.
Hold tight.
what is happening here? Why is this officer behaving like this? And his behavior seems to be a lot different from the other officers.
He stood out to us because of almost in a manic state. He was looking for more munitions. He had used his up, and so he was going to fellow officers and grabbing their munitions, whether it was a taser cartridge or it was one of the grenades that they used with the hard plastic pellets.
Hey! We need more munitions!
We did not see that from other officers, where it was, and as soon as he got one, he pulled the pin and he would lob it into the crowd and you'd hear it explode. He was completely out of control.
A supervisor should have stopped him, got him out of that area, and he himself was committing crimes in the process.
Freeze! You need deployments. I got another taser.
If you tase somebody, you're obligated to cuff them. Now that you've neutralized them, arrest them, and that's not what he was doing. He was using those devices to punish people, not to arrest them, and that is unconscionable.
Hey, Rich. Yeah. Put another down.
It's a failure not only of training, but it's also a failure of bystandership and supervision. An officer who is placed at risk of being injured or killed because of the action of another officer who precipitated a circumstance that began to be dangerous because he wanted to arrest the person, has a stake in that and would go to the officer and say, I'm going to report you to the sergeant. I don't appreciate that. You put us at risk because of what you were doing. I'm upset with you. And munitions come basically in two types. There are burning grenades and there are blast dispersion grenades. This appears to be blast dispersion, which caught fire. And if you fire them at an individual rather than hitting the ground close to them, you run the risk of incurring injury to that individual that you're trying to A, disperse, or B, immobilize so you can arrest. If you do, that explosion at a face level could blind a person, it could deafen them for life, it could do both. And that is what was depicted here in this film script. There is no tactical reason at all. This is something that is, you're showing intent by shooting at that level. It was also evident to me that the crowd was angry. The one-finger salute that was being given by that activist was a clear indication that they were mad. So what you've done is you constructively created a problem that you started out to disperse or arrest people with. You have contradicted what your mission was in the first instance, which was to disperse that crowd, get them back, because the chemical munitions were having effect on them, and not to do something that is, in my mind, sadistic and wrong, just wrong.
Do we know anything about this incident where the bomb goes off in the crowd that this officer threw?
Well, I'm not sure that particular grenade, if we know what the result was, but others, they fell in amidst two gentlemen who fairly shortly after had cardiac events. One, I believe, was a stroke. The other was a heart attack. That loud of a retort in, certainly can't say that that medically triggered it, but a stimulus like that, to anybody that's got a bad heart, those fellows both dropped pretty quickly, and they were carried out, and both of them eventually died.
You may have a person who has a condition that could evoke a reaction on their part that would be detrimental to their health. I'm not going to say that that's what happened here. I'm not a medical expert. I don't know. But I think it more probable than not that this precipitated what happened. The closer the density of the crowd, the more problematic the use of these tools is in terms of a number of things. There have been panic reactions on compacted crowds resulted in trampling, deaths, and injuries that occur. It's designed to get people to disperse, but in doing it with a compacted crowd, there isn't really that much maneuverability to disperse. And so it is a consideration that the commander should review before using this type of grenade. And if he determines that that is a danger because of the compacted nature of the crowd, a burning dispersion grenade would be a better tool because the gas is coming. It's not an explosion that causes a micro pulverized particles
to be embedded in people. One of them may have been struck by a projectile. A witness did report that, was struck in the side of the head, but they were in very close proximity, so they would have certainly felt the concussion. They may have even felt the heat, and certainly any of the gas that came off of it. And the response was very quick. I mean, within a few seconds, the first fellow was down, and he was without a pulse, and they never did bring him back. The autopsy ruled it as a natural death because these fellows had history of heart disease, but it did not go into contributing factors. And, you know, the families were not surprised about the heart attack because of the health conditions, but you cannot ignore the timing. Again, it raises troubling questions that really haven't been answered.
So the police are pushing people over this barricade.
And they were moving people back, but they were on a somewhat of an elevated platform and were pushing them pretty violently. And there was a concrete barrier, and several of these guys got flipped over. They were pushed so hard, and they tumbled. It wasn't a large height, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were injuries. It kind of shocks the senses to see it, because this wasn't just calmly shoving people back with riot shields or whatever. These were, kind of looked like a bar fight. It's very disorganized, as you can see, that they're throwing punches, they're striking people with batons, and even one going to
do grab someone. Who did they grab there?
That's the fellow who was tased.
So they tased this guy and dragged him in.
And then dragged him in, yep.
What's depicted here is a police mob confronting a mob and fighting with them using techniques and tactics that they're not authorized to use, that they were not taught and trained to use. Their policies and procedures of any agency that I'm aware of does not include such thing as doing a front snap kick to an individual that you've chased away from the area. That was responded to later by the crowd doing the same tactic, a front snap kick to the officers. You've created a one-on-one contest. This is not a karate match. This is a situation where you're obligated and duty bound to disperse the crowd and to move them back or arrest those who stay there. That's not what was done.
There was a severe beating of a woman named Victoria White. What do we know about her case?
Victoria White from Rochester, Minnesota, with the crowd had come up to the tunnel entrance, and she says she had been pushed in by the momentum of the crowd. And she ended up being trapped against one of the walls. And fairly short time after she got in there, she was attacked by a police officer, a supervisor from the Metro DC Police Department. And it went on for maybe 5 minutes. She was struck nearly 40 times in the head and face.
When the first blow came to my head by a metal baton, it was really bad. And I remember trying to keep myself up because I was scared I would be trampled. Originally, I thought I just got hit like 3 times on the head, but it wasn't until I saw the video that I realized like how bad it was in the tunnel. I remember trying to keep myself up because I was scared I was going to be trampled. And I remember saying to the officer, "You took an oath to the Constitution," and he called me the B word. And that's when I got one of the hardest blows that I can remember.
The head is a sphere, and what happens when you strike a spherical object with a blunted object, at least resistance, and glances off the head? That's a possibility. The second thing is you can hit them flush and kill them. If your intent was to kill them, you should have been using a firearm, not a baton. So it fails, tactically, to use a baton to attempt to use it as a disabling force option. The baton is registered as a less than lethal tool. It is a tool like tear gas. It is a tool like the taser. It is a tool like using your hands to subdue the person so that you can handcuff them and take them into custody. An officer striking her with an overhand blow approximately 10 times to her body, which she was protecting herself by putting her hands up to avoid the blows. Clearly a defensive position, not an attack position.
She was also punched in the face with a closed fist by the same officer. I believe it was five times. She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic. They were taking her back through the tunnel to detain her. So it was near the doors, the entrance to the Capitol. She is in the midst of a circle of police, and she's kind of getting jostled back and forth.
I know at some point my shoes started to come off, and I was falling backwards, and my coat around my waist slipped down. And then I don't know. And then I know at one point I felt like I was falling backwards, then being pushed between officers, like ping-ponged. They had my hands behind my back. I didn't have my shoes. I just had my socks when they took me in. There's no words to express the way that I feel right now and the atrocities that have gone on. The fact that we're labeled as terrorists. We're labeled as racist. I am a mom of four mixed daughters. I love all people. People's lies about us are causing myself and other January 6ers to endure unspeakable hell. And justice for us, it seems almost impossible.
Phrases would populate news sites all day and for months to come were repeated in near uniform. Storm the Capitol, breach police lines, insurrectionists, treason. Homogeneous coverage came in real-time dispatches from the Capitol. But at the same time, rally-goers had trouble making calls or sending texts to the grounds all day. January 6th was a display of grievance on behalf of a large swath of American society. That such an aggressive slice of the political world pushed these terms relentlessly raises the first somewhat rhetorical question of why. Julie Kelly, political commentator and senior contributor to American Greatness, has been one of the leading journalists on this topic.
It's all by design. And the idea that there are still people who believe, especially people on the right, who somehow still believe that the events of January 6th were organic. It was this uprising incited by Donald Trump's speech that day at the Ellipse. They're burying their head in the sand. So it's almost like a child. If no one is punished, no one pays any consequences for the biggest fraud perpetrated on the American people until January 6th, the Russia collusion hoax. Because they all got away with it, they were emboldened. And so that is what propelled them to then hijack the 2020 presidential election and then figure out a way after that how to bury and criminalize criticism of the 2020 election to finish off Donald Trump and the entire MAGA movement, which was the purpose of this inside job of January 6th. And so, unfortunately, here we are. No one still has been held criminally responsible for Russiagate. And now we see the same interests dovetailing who coalesced behind the events of January 6th. What I think they're trying.
I think that's simply excellent. She nailed it. It was an attempt to cover up, distract from the theft of the 2020 election. It was an attempt to tarnish Donald Trump. It was an attempt to stomp out the MAGA movement. If I can pull up some of the comments, there's running comments here that go along with the video for those who are watching or commenting on it. And there's a lot going on. Trump was correct. 2020 election was stolen. Watch 2,000 mules. Put all these videos online and timeline viewers can watch. What's a POS? Lindsey Graham was ordering officers to murder Americans. The G6 Harry need to see this. The police who were attacking, not the marchers. Epic Time, get this film seen by all. Lower the price. There's an awful lot here. And it demonstrates beyond any doubt that this was an orchestrated effort, that the Capitol Police were being savage. They were being sadistic with the people. They were firing on them with rubber bullets from an elevated position. They were throwing them off of high places. They were brutalizing them. That one woman, for God's sake, was hit 40 different times with a baton, 10 times in a row in the head, 5 times in the face. My God. And she's just a relatively petite woman that was being brutalized. They murdered another woman who was really essentially trampled, hit with a smoke and so forth. They have a lot here, too, about the Ashley Babbitt shooting. And I've got to say, watching this additional footage, I'm more open-minded, at least to the possibility that Ashley might actually have died on January 6th. Certainly, it's very obvious that the officer who shot her had no justification whatsoever. You're only permitted to use deadly force if either your life is in danger or you're in fear of imminent bodily harm. She was 6 or 8 or 10 feet away from him. She was trying to climb through a window. He came out, pointed his gun and shot her, according to this recording, in the shoulder, according to other reports, in the neck. I've explained why it looked to me as though that might be fake. I'm now open-minded, getting more evidence here. But anyone who's had any doubt about what's going on here, remember, on January 4th, Donald Trump authorized the use of National Guard troops. Now, under the law, in order for National Guard troops to be used, two factors must occur. Number one, the president must make the authorization, which he did on January 4th, 20,000 National Guard troops. Number two, there must be a request to deploy them. There must be a request to deploy them, which would come from the mayor or the Speaker of the House or the Senate Majority Leader. In other words, Nancy Pelosi, who runs the Capitol Police in her role as Speaker, could have requested them. Mayor Bowser of New York, who runs of Washington, D.C., who runs the Metropolitan Police Department, formally declined in writing for them to be deployed. Why? Because they had another plan, and they didn't want it to be altered by the fact that they had elaborate plan coordinated with the FBI. There's some information here about Ray Epps, but there's others I've reported on more expansively where he was clearly a provocateur. Members of the crowd recognized it. They were calling him out, Fed, 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 Fed. When Ray Epps was encouraging people, those who were smashing the windows appear to have been suspicious individuals. And one of the nice features of this, they identify how many suspicious individuals taking actions that were extremely provocative and aggressive have neither been identified nor arrested. In other words, there's clear evidence that while there's been brutal treatment of Trump supporters, and think about it. You turn out to support the president of the United States. You're aware of evidence the election was stolen. You want to make a peaceful protest. What do they want to do? They want to set an example. That if you turn out to support, you're going to be brutalized. You're going to be sent to jail. Many of these people have been put in solitary confinement. They've been denied legal representation. This is grotesque. This is totally unconstitutional. You're talking about rights that have been, since the Magna Carta. I mean, this is just outrageous. And the Democrats are doing it. So let me qualify my observation. I am ashamed. Not of America. I'm ashamed of the Democrat Party. I'm ashamed of Nancy Pelosi. I'm ashamed of Chuck Schumer. I'm ashamed of Mayor Bowser. I'm ashamed of the FBI. Mayor Garland is a disgrace. The Capitol Police were brutal. They were sadistic. There were four deaths there among the protesters, including Ashley Babbitt. But then they claimed a policeman who actually died the following day of a heart attack was supposed to have been a victim of the crowd. He wasn't a victim of the crowd. You know, everything you're hearing about this from the Democrat Party is false. It's a lie. It's not just an exaggeration. It's malicious. So what I'm saying, really, is the Democrat Party has turned into the world's largest pile of shit. The Democratic Party is disgracing the United States. The Democrat Party is violating the Constitution. The Democrat Party has turned into a band of lawless zealots who want only to keep control of the American government. That's all they want, and they will make any move whatsoever to accomplish that goal, any move whatsoever. Here's a comment from a correspondent of mine. Basically, Trump was overthrown in the same way as Yankovic in Ukraine. It starts out with a fraudulent election, which creates a riot, and then the legitimate leader is thrown out. The Dems use the insurrection to ensure that Trump's dispute of the election was never heard. It disrupted the hearing. It's exactly what happened in Denver or around 1964. Anti-war speeches were to be given on the Capitol steps. A group bust in of young Hispanics appeared out of nowhere as we arrived at the Capitol grounds, and then the police moved in and dispersed the crowd on the grounds that fights were breaking out. But it was the Hispanics who were not part of the march that were engaged in the unrest. I couldn't figure out what happened until 20 years later when I saw a documentary on Frontline, PBS, that this is a common tactic used by the CIA all over the world to effect regime change. Trump won 2020. He was ousted in an orchestrated coup on January 6th. Dems and deep state orchestrated the coup. It's just like Sandy Hook, Boston, and many others. Most recently, probably Uvalde, where there's no doubt about it. More recently, Highland Park. More recently, Buffalo. They're all phony. They're all fake. They're all disgusting beyond belief. And that's just part of the Democrat game plan. Part of the Democrat game plan. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I want everyone really to consider subscribing to the Epoch Times and get the benefit of watching this for free. Otherwise, shell out $4.99 and watch it. Believe me, it's a powerful antidote to all the propaganda you're getting over the mainstream media, which is unending, unending. They're going to run this right up to the midterm election because they think they've got a winner. Well, a recent poll that was open-ended asked, those sampled to identify what they regarded as their foremost problems confronting the nation. They had 22 answers, 22 foremost problems. Number one, of course, being inflation. Number one, far ahead of the others. Gas prices, food prices, rising food prices up there real high. What wasn't among the top 22? The top 22 January 6th wasn't even in the top 22. Not even in the top 22. The Democrats think they're going to ride January 6th and the Roe, you know, turning Roe over to the states for the states to decide, which I'm becoming increasingly convinced is what the Constitution itself requires, The argument, the judgment of the court about Roe, which I have clearly, firmly supported, returning it to the states, may be exactly right in accordance with the Constitution. Certainly, this court is making other constitutional determinations. Vitiating the requirement to have a permit to concealed carry. We had a case here in this mall in Indiana where this guy who was in the mall, just a civilian, but he was packing when a guy came in with a, they're trying to demonize the AR-15, so you know it's going to be the AR-15. He pumped off 10 rounds and he hit him 8 times. Wow. And that was from like 40 feet, or it may have even been yards. I mean, that's really good shooting, as having qualified with a handgun of 45, 4 years in a row as a Marine Corps officer, I'll tell you. Handguns are harder to shoot accurately over any distance. I mean, this was remarkable shooting, and it sets an inspiring example, and it's only one of innumerable. The whole gun control agenda, trying to grab our guns ain't going to work. I mean, look how stupid they are. On the one hand, they're defunding the police. On the other hand, they're going to deprive civilians of their ability to defend themselves by taking guns away from the law-abiding. Why don't we hear about them taking guns away from the criminals? Because their laws are already on the books. They don't do any good. Look at Chicago. We got massive deaths in Chicago every weekend. Mostly it's gangs, gang members shooting other gang members using handguns. Claire McCaskill went on MSNBC the other day and talked about how there were 70,000 lives were lost each year to these gun violence, as she described. But she didn't isolate that the overwhelming majority were black-on-black shootings, that these blacks were using handguns, these were gang warfare. She didn't sort out suicides. Turns out in our society today, because life is so miserable and the Democrats are making it worse, we have skyrocketing suicide rates. It's all happening in our military, too. They never talk about, you know, there are shootings of police in the performance of their duty, civilians in self-defense. In fact, that civilian in self-defense is a very important number. Turns out civilians use guns to defend themselves defensively from assaults millions of times every single year. Millions of times every single year, saving an estimated 200,000 American lives every year. 200,000 American lives every year are saved by the defensive use of guns by Americans who are concealed carry, or maybe even in some cases, possibly openly packing. Most of the time, they don't even have to use a weapon. Once a perp sees they're armed, they just get the hell out. This is a way to solve the problem. The Democrats would have you believe the more guns, the more gun violence, but that isn't the way it works. John Lotzman is especially good about this. Well, all statistics and studies showing the more guns, the less gun violence. The less gun violence. But the perps know they're likely to be taken out, as in the case of the Indianapolis Mall. They think twice. They're not so eager to pull out their gun and start taking people out because they may be taken out in short order. That's the truth behind the statement that the best antidote to a bad man with a gun is a good man with a gun. And remember, too, I mean, some of the NRA slogans, they've been powerful because they had a point, because they were rooted in the truth. When guns are outlawed, only outlaws will have guns. That's what the Democrats want. How insane is that? My dear colleague, Dr. Ewan, superimposed a 2016 electoral map over a 2014 gun violence, really a murder map. And the areas where the murders were prevalent in the United States were all controlled by the Democrats. It's their incredibly stupid policies that are causing all this death and mayhem. In communities run by Republicans where there's support for the police, we have the enforcement of law and order. It doesn't happen. They don't go bananas. But now you got Democrats all over the country who are tolerating crime. They're not enforcing any of the laws. They're punishing American citizens who are protesting the theft of an election, which is ought to be a totally legitimate exercise, the right to assemble peacefully, to petition your government. But they're letting endless looters. They're doing it in caravans in California. They're pulling up caravans to very, you know, jewelry stores, high-end department stores, and they're looting it massively, massively. And there's no prosecution. There's no arrest. They even have it on video. They have it on camera, and they're doing nothing about it. Is this the America you want? Absolutely incredible. This is a Democrat agenda. This is a Democrat vision for the future for America. I mean, if you feel nauseated, by God, that's how I feel, nauseated. And I used to vote for Democrats. I used to think the Democrat Party used to be a responsible party. I grew up believing the strongest affiliation with JFK and FDR because I believe in the Social Security network, including Social Security itself, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. These are the programs that actually have worked for the American people and given them real benefits in real time during their real, very real lifetimes. But the Democrats have gone totally off the rails. I think, you know, what we have had. When Bill Clinton signed on to NAFTA and gutted the manufacturing and industrial base of the United States, remember, Wasp Perot warned us. He said that giant sucking sound is all the jobs moving south. Ross Perot was threatened with bodily harm, harm to his family, to force him out of the race. And when Bill Clinton came in and promoted NAFTA, He wreaked massive economic damage to the United States. We have hardly any manufacturing or industrial base left. Virtually none. And when he was succeeded by, you know, when Barack Obama came in, he further, Barack Obama doesn't give a GD about the United States. Barack Obama is one of the most vain, selfish individuals ever to occupy the highest office. From my research, he was born in Kenya. He isn't even a legitimate president of the United States. But we had Howard Dean and Claire McCaskill and Nancy Pelosi all vouching he was qualified to serve as president when it was manifestly not the case. He appears to have been a creature of the CIA. He appears to be the one who is the immediate manipulator of this brainless Biden. He's the guy because he just had those 8 years in office. But he himself, Barack Obama, is manipulated by George Soros, the Rothschild banking empire, and others of that ilk. It's just disgusting. And remember, Soros, his dream is to destroy America before he dies. Destroy America before he dies. Well, I'll say he's got a pretty good leg up on it. He spent huge sums of money in electing no less than some 75 district attorneys across the country, district attorneys who do not believe in enforcing the law, who believe in turning criminals out on the street so they can commit more crimes, who don't believe in bail. I mean, George Soros really has wreaked tremendous damage to the United States. And as I recall, when Barack Obama came in, he fired the United States attorneys all across the country with only one exception. He just fired them all. They were in an advanced state of, you know, pursuing crimes against a whole host. And I'll just bet there were a whole lot of Democrats who were on the receiving end of their investigation. And Barack Obama is going to protect them all. Barack Obama is going to go down as one of the blackest marks in the history of the United States. I mean, figuratively. And, of course, it's also literally true. But I bear no malice toward a man because of the color of his skin. And, indeed, this is just disgraceful beyond belief. Disgraceful beyond belief. So they want to use gun control. They want to use January 6th. They want to use Roe. They think it's going to pave their way on the November midterm. But actually, in their heart of hearts, they know they don't have a chance. They don't have a prayer. The polls are so massive. The Hispanic community is an all-time low of support for the Democrat Party. I think it's about 16% in the Hispanic Party. Blacks have lost their faith. They're no longer confident the Democratic Party, it's not doing anything for them. Even before the 2020 election, I remember Rasmussen in a poll in December 2019. 40% of black likely voters were going to support Trump. Right now, there's a massive migration from the Democratic Party to the Republican. But the leaders of the party are acting pretty nonchalant about it. And as I've mentioned on more than one occasion, I believe they have two options. One is there's going to be a second pandemic. Remember, even this brainless Biden is talking about a second pandemic. I believe it's going to be Marburg. The point is, it's going to be something very scary. With Marburg, you wind up bleeding from every orifice. And as I understand it, already those who have been vaccinated are primed that if they're exposed to electromagnetic pulses at a certain frequency, it will activate these little blood capsules that are already in the vax, already in their system, and they'll start bleeding from every orifice. It's going to be very scary. It's going to make people believe they need to lock down and they need to depend on the government, and they'll require all mail-in balloting, and they'll steal the election once again. They have to do it if they're going to preserve their control of the American government. They have to steal the election. Everyone on every side, even the Democrats, know that they're confronting a catastrophic failure. It'll be the greatest defeat of a political party in the history of the United States if it's anywhere near what it ought to be, if we have anything remotely approximating an honest vote in November. The Democratic Party is going to be eviscerated. I believe it will cease to function as a real party, and deservedly so. It has so transmogrified itself from a legitimate party into some variant of a totalitarian or fascist party. I mean, you got the police out there beating up American citizens brutally, brutally, brutally. I mean, this is so well documented in the Epoch Times documentary. You've got to watch it. Not a word of this, of course, is mentioned on the January 6th committee with all their televised hearings. And they have a big teleprompter, so everyone's reading from a script. And as I said, they had this guy who was supposed to be a Secret Service agent, but you couldn't see his face. His voice was distorted. I think it's totally fraudulent. There's no reason to doubt it. When they're willing to beat the hell out of American citizens, when they're willing to have a setup, when they're willing to use the FBI, when they're willing to use Antifa to create a phony appearance of what they're calling an insurrection because they want to trash Trump and stomp out the MAGA movement. We cannot let that happen. They have no scruples. They have no conscience. This is the most disgusting political development in the history of the United States. Today's Democrat Party, led by Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, reinforced by Mayor Bowser of Washington, D.C., this is an unholy trio. You've heard the idea of an axis of evil, right? We hear that in times of war. Well, right now, the Democrat Party is at war with the American people, and the axis of evil is Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Muriel Bowser, backed by George Soros and Barack Obama. And I can't begin to tell you how bad it is, how awful it is, how disgusting it is. If you aren't completely repulsed by what's going on now, you didn't get the memo. You're not paying attention. Pull your head out of the sand. It's happening right now. They are destroying America. This is your country, my country. It's not their country. We got to stop this. We have to bring this to a halt. Write your congressman, write your senator, turn out to political events, finance, support every way you can the destruction of the Democrat Party, because they're out to kill us. They're out to destroy us politically. We must see that happens to them.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening. give, I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Mitchell has just shared with me how the Department of Justice misnamed grossly sabotaged Trump release of Russiagate docs. This is just today, July 22nd, 2022. Get this. The Department of Justice blocked the release of hundreds of pages of Russiagate documents that were declassified by then-President Donald Trump, who wanted to expose FBI abuses against him and his inner circle surrounding the 2016 U.S. election and beyond. That really petrified a Trump, you see, because he actually reached out to people. Trump has begun a populist movement here that represents real democracy in the United States, and they don't like it. The establishmentarians and the Democrat Party, but even in the Republican, because I don't think Mitch McConnell's any more enthusiastic about Donald Trump than is Nancy Pelosi, don't like Americans having a say in what happens with their government. They want to rule it as their own fiefdom. They want to make all the decisions unimpeded by the popular will. Which is what was so sensational about Trump's rise to power. He executed a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. And he turned it from one for rich country club white men into a party that actually resonated with the American people, especially the working people of the United States, the lower classes, a good segment of the middle classes. And the Democrats have turned away from the people as a consequence. Trump has actually been promoting the best interests of the American people. He gave us a robust economy. He made us energy independent. We saw the lowest wage earners seeing their wages rise at the highest rate, in part because he clamped down on the border. Look, this is an invasion at the border. This is a long-term plan, the Kalergi plan, it's known as. It was to flood Europe, which is mostly, you know, white nations with African immigrants, to flood it. And now they're doing the same thing with the United States, flooding us with South American refugees. They're not bona fide refugees. These aren't mostly, for the most part, people who actually are fleeing their countries because they are somehow prosecuted, persecuted politically. No, no, no. And they're being egged on. I have video of convoys where they're being brought up by the thousands in convoys. And guess what? On the door of the trucks, the convoys is a Star of David. This is an Israeli plan. And George Soros is right in there pitching. He wants to destroy America. This is his foremost dream. You may or may not recall the pick for the vice presidential candidate, this airhead, Kamala Harris, was made not even by the Democrat Party. It was made by George Soros and his son announced that Kamala had been picked. And now they're in this predicament that Biden's become an albatross around their neck. Everyone can see he's incompetent. He's going out. He's canceled. You know, he's destroyed America's energy independence. He's going off to Saudi Arabia to kiss their butt to try to beg them for gas. And they're telling him, I'm sorry, if you want more, pump it yourself. He's depleting the strategic petroleum reserve, and millions of barrels are going, guess where, to China. This is a Biden. His son is the most sordid figure in recent American history. I mean, this guy may be engaged in more corrupt, perverted, lurid activities than any other figure in American history, and that's going some. And then that even includes video I've seen where he appears to be cavorting with the two so-called offspring of Barack and Michelle. But as we know, and there's a new video, Michelle Obama was born Michael LaVon Robinson. Michelle Obama's a man. Michelle Obama's a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. There's a little video now. It's only like 2.5 minutes. That just makes a point powerfully. The kids weren't theirs. They were the children of a physician of Michelle. The older girl looks just like her father. The younger girl just like her mother. And Brock gave them a little white dog. And we see in some of the videos with Hunter, these two nubile young girls are cavorting with him in bed quite naked. And there's a little white dog there. I'm telling you, this is just disgusting beyond belief. But of course, they would have got to know each other. I mean, after all, Joe was a vice president to Barack. And as some of you may or may not recall, Barack Obama himself said, never underestimate Joe Biden's ability to muck things up. That's Barack Obama. Barack Obama also said, when he was asked if he'd like to serve another term, no, but if someone else were in that office and he were behind the scenes, you know, pushing the buttons, pulling the levers, he'd like that. Well, that's what he got. This is basically, you know, Barack Obama's third term, except they've gone full steam ahead with the George Soros agenda. I think Soros effectively bought the Democrat National Party, lock, stock, and barrel. Because all this of, you know, destroying our energy dependence, you know, opening the floodgate to migration. I mean, these are changes that are going to be permanent. Think about it. He's opened a floodgate. And now we have mayors of certain cities like New York City and Washington, D.C. complaining about all the immigrants there. Well, some of the border state governors, like in Texas, have taken these migrants and transported them to cities like New York and Washington, D.C. But it's going to think of the hell of the mess. You got all these millions of immigrants in here, and many are being recruited into the military, I have no doubt. They've turned the military woke. No one wants to join a gay or transgender military. No one wants to join a military that's promoting critical race theory. So recruitment's down. They've essentially succeeded in vitiating the American military. We were once a powerful military force. Well, I hate to tell you, it ain't true today. It ain't true anymore. And they're doing everything they can to make the situation worse, not better. But I do believe as part of the agenda is to bring these migrants into the military, promise them citizenship, and provide them with weapons and train so they can fire on the American people. Do you have any idea how many weapons and ammunition has been acquired by the federal government here with all kinds of different agencies acquiring millions and millions of rounds of very nasty hollow point ammunition that expands when it hits a body? It's designed to maim and tear bodies apart. How many automatic weapons are being purchased by the federal government? These are weapons that civilians aren't allowed to own. These are bona fide weapons of war. The AR-15, which is the most popular rifle in America, by the way, by far, is not a weapon of war. It's not an assault weapon. Those have to be fully automatic. It's only semi-automatic. And get this, by the way, it's fascinating. Even Jerry Nadler, who's the head of the Judiciary Committee of the House, let the cat out of the bag when he admitted it was massively popular, because one of the criteria the Supreme Court uses to determine whether or not a weapon satisfies the Second Amendment is its popularity. Well, the AR-15 is massively popular. I've fired one before. It's lightweight. It's totally versatile. Very, very accurate. It's a damn good weapon. And the idea that the, you know, Biden admin wants to take it away from the American people, same time they're defunding the police, same time they're going to impose strict gun control, it ain't going to fly. Americans aren't going to put up with it, are not going to put up with it. And I'll tell you, the situation is getting compounded because now we have massive food shortages on the way. I mean, this is all part of the Great Reset, and it is happening. I've reported before, many of you have heard, around 100 food processing plants. This includes millions of turkeys, millions of chickens, millions of hogs have been slaughtered on the ground that they had COVID. I mean, it's absurd. The test is fake. They can make it up, get any result they want, and then insist that the farms have to destroy all of their stock, all of their poultry, all of their beef. So, here's a new piece by Dr. Joseph Mercola, who's a truth teller. I just published on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Dr. Joseph Mercola, where's the beef? Ask Bill Gates. Story at a glance. In early June of 2022, the government of the Netherlands announced it would cut the size of livestock herd in the country by 30% to meet European Union nitrogen and ammonia pollution rules. According to Dutch Parliament member Thierry Baudet, the government is following the script of the Great Reset, which requires weakening the country, making it more dependent on food imports, and diluting nationalism by taking in more immigrants. Sound familiar? To make room for immigrant housing, they need to take land away from farmers. The newly assigned Minister for Nature and Nitrogen Policy, Christiane van der Wal Zegelink, is married to Piet van der Wal, who together with his brother are heavily invested in the major online grocery retailer Picnic. In September of 2021, Bill Gates invested an estimated $500 million into Picnic, thereby becoming one of its lead investors. Gates' involvement has raised questions about government corruption. At the same time, the Dutch government is preparing to radically restrict livestock farming and meat production. Gates is gobbling up farmland back home. Despite land prices being at a record high, Gates purchased a 2,100-acre potato farm in North Dakota in June of 2022, last month, bringing the total land share held by the Gates Red River Trust to above 270,000 acres. Gates claims he intends to lease the farmland to farmers. Viewed from the perspective of the Great Reset, it would then appear Gates may be engaged in the same kind of wealth shift scheme as BlackRock and other investment groups that are buying up single-family homes and turning them into rentals. The end goal is to eliminate all private ownership and turn the population into serfs. In early June of 2022, the government of the Netherlands announced it would cut the size of the livestock herds in the country by 30%. As a result of this green policy, many farmers will be driven out of business, and they've gathered in protest across the country. This is important because many may not realize that even though the Netherlands is a small country, it is the second largest exporter of agriculture in the world after the United States. As with current energy shortages, the forced reductions in farming and food production are said to be an unavoidable part of the green agenda to improve air, soil, and water quality. In a public statement about the new emissions targets, the Dutch government even admitted that the honest message is that not all farmers can continue their business. Those who do continue will have to come up with creative solutions to meet the new emissions restrictions. The restrictions on nitrogen for livestock farming have befuddled many. Why would government restrict farming at a time when food shortages and famine loom on the horizon worldwide? Some claim to have discovered conflicts of interest within the Dutch government that can help explain this irrational move. And I've explained already, the newly assigned Minister for Nature and Nitrogen is married to the owners of a massive supermarket chain called Boney. As noted by the conservative Treehouse, when Dutch farmers sell product to Boney, they're directly funding the wealth of the government minister who seeks to destroy their livelihood. The Vanderwal family is also heavily involved and invested in a major online grocery retailer called Picnic. Picnic buys food at wholesale prices directly from Boney, which minimizes its operational costs. Picnic basically functions as a home delivery service for Bonnie. In September of 2021, Bill Gates entered the Dutch enterprise. He invested an estimated $500 million into Picnic, thereby becoming one of its lead investors. Not surprisingly, Picnic focuses on selling the fake food that Gates has invested in and promotes imitation beef in particular. The CEO of Picnic, Michael Mueller, a Dutch climate change activist, has also publicly vowed to change the entire food system to be in line with sustainable goals, which falls right in line with Gates' agenda. The strong recommendation to replace beef with fake meat was made in Gates' book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster, The Solutions We Have and the Breakthroughs We Need, released in February of 2021. In an interview with MIT Technology Review, he also suggested people could learn to like fake meat, and if resistance continues, regulation may be needed to force the switch. According to the Counter Signal, many participating in the ongoing farmers' protests in Holland have openly stated they believe Gates may be partially responsible for pushing additional climate laws. Curiously, July 10, 2022, a large Picnic delivery facility in Armelo, Holland, burned to the ground under mysterious circumstances. Here's a quote from Bill Gates, American business magnate. "I do think all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. Eventually, that green premium is modest enough that you can sort of change the behavior of people or use regulation to totally shift the demand." This is disgusting beyond belief. The attempt to rid the Netherlands of livestock farmers really only makes sense if seen from the globalist point of view, with an eye on the Great Reset, the Green New Deal, Agenda 2030, and related sustainable development goals. According to Dutch Parliament member Thierry Baudet, the Dutch government is following the script of the Great Reset which requires weakening the country, making it more dependent on food import, diluting nationalism by taking in more immigrants to make room for immigrant housing. They need to take land from the farmers and, of course, suppress food production. Indeed, according to the Dutch Parliament member Thierry Baudet, that's really what the nitrogen restrictions are all about. The Great Reset script also calls for diluting nationalism and weakening borders by taking in more immigrants, and to make room for immigrant housing, they need to take land from the farmers. So the new nitrogen rules are basically a precursor to a land grab. They intend to put farmers out of business so they can take their land and stack it full of low-income government assistance apartment buildings. Aside from that, farmers also pose a threat to the technocratic elitists because they don't need to rely on government for basics such as food and shelter. And they can allow those who buy their food to maintain their independence as well. The globalist plan is to eliminate access to as much food, real food as possible, and replace natural food with patented foodstuffs so the population becomes entirely dependent on them for survival. At that point, they are easily controlled. Eliminating independent food producers, farmers, is therefore a key to the globalist cabal's eventual success.
Hey, Internet friends. 2021. New year, same revenge of the nerds plot. Mr. Microsoft, the fourth publicly richest person in the world, and great-grandson of the Federal Reserve Empire, Bill Gates, has embarked on a new endeavor, procuring farmland across the United States to the tune of 2,400,000 acres that spans across 18 states, earning him the spot as one of the top feudal lords. His largest land holdings reside in Louisiana, Arkansas, Nebraska, Arizona, and Washington. So Gates has gone from computer nerd to generous philanthropist making it rain vaccines down in Africa, the top doctor without a medical degree, to number one go-to guy and public health expert on all things coronavirus and lockdowns. And now he's playing a game of Monopoly with farmland. Gates has been dabbling in agriculture since the early 2000s under the banner of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. As we've covered in previous videos, the Gates Foundation bought up tons of shares of the chemical-turned agricultural company called Monsanto back in the early days of the Gates Foundation. Monsanto is best known for Agent Orange, Roundup, and other chemicals that have caused widespread death and suffering throughout the ages. But now, for some reason, because we live in the upside-down world, they have control over the world's food supply, and they genetically modify our crops with the stated purpose of producing higher yields, which means higher profit, more control, and substantially less small farmers, because they simply can't keep up with Monsanto's Franken-crop magic. According to the article I was reading about Farmer Gates, his land is, quote, held directly and through third-party entities by Cascade Investments, Gates' personal investment vehicle. In 2008, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation announced $306 million in grants to promote high-yield, sustainable agriculture among smallholder farmers in sub-Saharan Africa and Asia. The foundation has further invested in the development and proliferation of super crops resistant to climate change and higher-yield dairy cows. Last year, the organization announced Gates Ag One, a nonprofit to advance those efforts, end quote. Over the last year, I've covered Bill Gates' involvement with the coronavirus and vaccine development, as well as his former statements advocating population control. We've discussed his extracurricular activities like creating his own breast milk formula, which I dubbed Bill Gates' titty milk, his endeavor to genetically modify millions and millions of mosquitoes and release them into the wild, and his financial interest in meat alternatives to fight climate change. He did all of this and didn't receive an ounce of criticism from mainstream media outlets because we also revealed that these media outlets had received funds from the Gates Foundation. And while Bill Gates makes a perfectly good supervillain, I've also demonstrated that he's just a frontman. Certainly not alone in his endeavors, but rather the face of what we've come to know as the Gates Empire. So we've got a guy who has a backdoor to every government computer through his software, a firm grip on the media coverage of his shenanigans, and a say in the health not only of this country, but of the world. And now he has control of America's breadbasket. With this new development, we must ask the question that the mainstream media won't. What exactly is the Gates Foundation using their farmland for? We can make a few guesses based on the data we've already collected about Bill Gates. Guess number one. Given that Bill Gates is so heavily invested in meat alternatives, Perhaps he aims to drastically raise the cost of natural beef so he can push the soy alternative, pushing lab-grown burgers to the forefront as the most affordable option for everyone. But like this tweet said, if you're planning to block out the sun, you don't buy that farmland to grow food. As of 3 weeks ago, Bill Gates is still on board in funding the effort to block out the sun by, quote, using a balloon to send reflective particles into the atmosphere with the hope that these would block direct sunlight to the Earth and lower the effects of global warming, end quote. Guess number two, neo-feudalism. In addition to extensive land ownership being a lucrative decision for his relationship with Monsanto, buying farmland at this rate makes it difficult for farmers or homesteaders who are just beginning their lives and businesses to get a start. Instead, they'll have to farm on rented land from Bill Gates. This is nothing new. This is a business model we've seen throughout history. Guess number three. This goes along with the information we have about Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. The less available farmland there is out in the country, the higher the likelihood that people are pushed towards the major city centers, aka megacities and smart cities, where universal basic income is implemented alongside the trend of jobs being replaced by robots and artificial intelligence. This mix creates a scenario in which the human cattle are completely dependent on the government for money and food. And since all the folks are in one place in these smart cities, they're easily monitored too. The technocrats of the Great Reset we keep hearing about tell us that in the future there is no private property. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Except the controllers, of course. They'll own everything, just like Farmer Bill. Guess number four, the inoculation angle. Did you know that plants can be used as biofactories for producing antigens and vaccines on a large scale? Essentially, you can use plants to vaccinate the population. The idea is instead of getting a shot, which is an intentional decision to get inoculated, instead you could just eat a tomato or a piece of fruit and be vaccinated, directly getting that immunity in the form of edible vaccines. You really wouldn't even know it if you were immunized, because there's no prick of the needle. Scientists have been working on edible vaccines for decades, but allegedly it hasn't been rolled out to the public yet. With the advent of COVID-19 and the race to immunize the entire population, whether they like it or not, the idea of edible vaccines is being toyed with. And the theory here is, given Bill Gates' philanthropic and financial interest in vaccinating the population, this land may be used to produce and harvest edible vaccines. Problem, reaction, solution. While Bill Gates' reasons for buying up this farmland have not been disclosed yet, should a man who advocates for population control while vaccinating brown and black children across Asia and Africa, a seemingly sole individual in the public eye who advocates population control so fiercely, should he have control over such a huge share of farmland? It's the same way these tech companies have monopolized the online sphere and therefore the control and flow of information. That's what it appears Bill, our new plantation owner, is doing with America's breadbasket.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, you're welcome to join me today. The number 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call, get you on the air. I'm going to return to this business about DOJ sabotaging the release of Russia documents. After the agency refused, citing last-minute privacy concerns, they defied a subsequent order to release the materials after redactions were made, which, according to Just the News, which obtained a memo from the National Archives written by the former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows hours before Trump left office on January 20th, 2021. Meadows' memo confirmed prior reporting by Just the News that Trump on January 19, 2021, declassified a binder of hundreds of pages of sensitive FBI documents that show how the Bureau used informants and FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign and misled both the federal court and Congress about flaws in the evidence they offered to get approval for the investigation. The declassified documents included transcripts of intercepts made by the FBI of Trump aides, a declassified copy of the final FISA warrant approved by an intelligence court, and the tasking orders and debriefings of the two main confidential human sources, Christopher Steele and Stefan Halper, the Bureau used to investigate whether Trump had colluded with Russia to steal the 2016 election. Investigation into Trump and his campaign, as we know, found there was no collusion with the Kremlin. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton authorized the dissemination of the fabricated claim that the Trump team was communicating with a Russian bank. They have acknowledged under oath Hillary gave the approval. The declassified docs have never seen the light of day. As the DOJ disobeyed a direct order from the sitting U.S. president through Meadows to declassify and expeditionally release him after private information was redacted. Well, this is not surprising, is it? But it laid the foundation, just as we have heard from the woman commentator about January 6th, saying because no one was ever prosecuted about Russiagate, no one has ever been, you know, held to account over the theft of the election, they're emboldened to take these additional measures that are grossly illegal and destructive of the democratic process. I'm returning the bulk of the binder of declassified documents to the Department of Justice, including all that appear to have a potential to raise privacy concerns, with the instruction the department must expeditiously conduct a Privacy Act review under the standards that the Department of Justice would normally apply, redact material appropriately, and release the remaining material with redactions applied, wrote Meadows, who told Just the News that he was dismayed at the DOJ's refusal to follow lawful instructions from the president. Well, you know, the swamp is pretty deep, he said. But when we look at this, this particular president was all about draining the swamp. And when he was running, that was more of a campaign slogan. But when he got there, he realized not only was the swamp very deep, but that they would fight back. And oftentimes he said, you know, I want to do this and get this out to the American people, not just a classification in terms of issues that affected him or his campaign personally, but issues that affect the American people. What would happen is he would have a directive, and then we would see as people were leaving the Oval Office, you know, they were not in compliance in the Oval Office, and the moment they got out, they said, well, we're not going to do that, or we're going to find all the reason not to do it. So I found that very often while I served as chief of staff, as a member, but also found that as a member of Congress, that many times we'd go in and the president was all in on a transparency issue, only find that many, whether they be at a particular agency or the Pentagon, began pushing back. According to Meadows, if the documents are ever released, they'll show that congressional Democrats and FBI leadership knew they were lying. We found that not only were some of the allegations made by some of the Democrats false, but they were kind of guilty of what they were accusing Donald Trump of. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Brian, you're here from Missouri. Go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Well, my good old trusty website, Henry McCow, had on there a few days ago the Democratic National Committee website before the 2020 election. And I thought it had to just been a, you know, it was a joke because you can't believe what was on it. It seems like it said DNC on the right hand upper corner. Then on the left corner was a pentagram with the goat head in it, you know, ball or whatever. And then at the bottom it said death to America. And I said, this has got to be a joke, but when I read about it, it seemed to be serious. It even said something about they had to get permission from Iran for the death to America thing. And then the other thing that was on there that same day was the 1994 voting registration card, a picture of it, of Michelle Obama, and she had put down her sex as being male. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah, well, as I say, there's a short video about it. I think I have it in my show for today. I do this every day. I do something called Need to Know, where I have usually two commentators, and we go through major stories, and they comment. And I also play some short videos, and it's only like 2.5 minutes. I've done much more. When I had the False Flag and Conspiracies Conference 2020, I did a one of my own presentation with entitled Deception Galore, and I went through a number of the uses of body doubles and the like, including Hillary, who had 6 or 8 different body doubles, and I mean, there were all kinds of good reasons, but she even used body doubles for debating with Donald Trump and with Bernie Sanders. I mean, it's outrageous. Younger, healthier, more articulate, you know, far more attractive. You could see why Hillary wouldn't want to represent herself, because she's rather repulsive physically as well as in every other possible way. But then, of course, all the fraud about Biden. But I also included about Michelle Obama, and I traced her history as being born Michael LaVon Robinson, having played football at Oregon State, having then changed to a female persona, transferring to Princeton and calling herself Michelle Robinson. Now she and Brock were dating, and how it was very obvious she was a man, that she was, you know, We have a nice photograph that's actually included in this little 2.5 minute where you can see with someone who looks a lot like a young Bill Gates, where she is clearly flat-chested. She has no breasts because, of course, she's not a woman. She is a man. And a lot of the indications about how she has a package that most women do not have, and the photographs I have there are also in this little clip. And then when dancing on the Ellen DeGeneres show, you could tell, again, this is not a woman, but is clearly a man. And where, although it's not included here in this old 2.5 minute clip, in my Deception Galore, which, by the way, anyone can download, go to my blog at jamesfetzer.org and check out False Flag and Conspiracy 2020 and find the archives where you can download it and download Deception Galore. I mean, if you don't know the history of these things, you're going to be blown away. But the fact is that a physician who was assigned to look after her on the campaign trail walked in on her taking a leak standing up. And while he was paid millions for his silence, he says, "Let them sue me. I can't keep this silent any longer, given the damage they've done to America, that Michelle Obama is not a man who underwent a sex change operation. Michelle Obama is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill." And one of the images that I have there, but also in this short video clip, is Michelle, when your husband's no longer present, where her beard is coming out very strongly. I mean, anyone who has any doubt about this, there are those who believe that the Democrats are going to run Michelle in 2024. And I just say, I think the whole country is going to be shocked and disillusioned to discover that Michelle Obama is a man. And I think that was part of the reason I've been pursuing this issue from the beginning. I don't like liars, phonies, frauds, cheats, and the Democrats are just the biggest pile of liars, phony, frauds, and cheats ever assembled in one place in the history of the universe. So I've been outing Michelle for quite a good number of years, but there's a very nice, rather thorough dispatch of her in that Deception Galore from False Flags and Conspiracy 2020. Anyone can download. You can share it with everyone. It's available there along with 23 other videos, and I think you'd find a lot of good stuff there. Brian, go ahead. Continue.
Well, I just wanted to get off subject just a little bit. I listened to you this morning talking about Ukraine and how Zelensky canned his head like a CIA guy. And there's a really good website called Southfront, Southfront Ukraine.
Yes.
And they explained what happened there. That Southfront Ukraine, I know Jill Olson was bemoaning the fact like Patrick Lancaster can't get it. But, I mean, that is just addictive. I'm there a couple times a day watching like drone footage of trench warfare going on where there's Russians in the trench and they're shooting at the Ukrainians and you're watching them drop and you're seeing them having grenade duels in the trench and, you know, ambushes and then talking about all this stuff that you don't normally get. And they explained why he canned his CIA chief. It was because there was a village called the Natisa. And there was a meeting there between NATO arms experts, whatever, and a lot of his generals. And they got word of it through, you know, the Russians through their secret service agents or whatever, or their secret agents. And so they put, I think, 3 caliber cruise missiles in on that meeting and killed a bunch of NATO people and 28 Russian Air Force generals, and it was after that that Zelensky canned his CIA chief. So I thought you'd find that interesting. And it's there on Southfront. They have their pictures and everything, so the ones that died.
Well, let me just add that you're listening to, you were watching one of the Need to Knows. I do Joe Olson, who's this wonderfully background engineer, qualified in multiple areas, is very frequent among the commentators and does a great job of it. So you can find those on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. I'm glad you brought it in, Brian. Yeah, the whole thing with Ukraine is just so disgusting beyond belief. Let me add, I've just done an interview with Nick Kohlerstrom, who's one of the leading experts on false flags and conspiracies in the world. And he and I did an interview yesterday about Ukraine, a new book he has about Ukraine, The Just War, where he explains that he's always been an anti-war guy. But in this case, when you look at the situation in Ukraine, when you look at the threat it poses to Russia and indeed to the world by the biolabs and all that, when you understand that actually Nathan Rothschild has said that without Ukraine, the New World Order may fall flat, when he's declared that Vladimir Putin is the greatest enemy of the New World Order and the Great Reset. I mean, I praise Vladimir Putin. He's doing the right thing. He laid out his rationale for the intrusion into Ukraine way back when on the 24th of February, referring to the West as an empire of lies. And he's absolutely got it right. The United States has disgraced itself again and again by violating even the most solemn international agreements and treaties, including when the dissolution of the Soviet Union took place in 1991, Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev agreed that the United States, that the West, would not encroach one single inch to the east by turning these new Eastern Bloc countries that would become sovereign nations into NATO nations, and we violate it. We've turned 14 of them into NATO nations. I mean, it's disgusting. I even know the man Lee Wanta, who is Reagan's special ambassador, who negotiated the deal. But I'm just telling you, James Baker, then Secretary of State, made that declaration, not one inch to the east. And we have just violated again and again. Russia's national sovereignty is at stake. And if the West doesn't take it seriously, if the West continues to encroach, if the West doesn't respect Russia's responsibility to defend its own national security, we're going to be in a hell of a fix, because their military is much stronger. They are the most powerful nuclear nation on Earth, not the United States, but Russia. They have the best ICBMs, multiple independent reentry warheads. They have subs that could just launch a dirty bomb over the East Coast and take up our financial center, make New York and the entire environment uninhabitable for the next 250 years. That's one of the least things they could do. They could drop an EMP over the United States and take out our electrical grid. This is one of the flaws in the Green New Deal. Electricity is highly unreliable, difficult to store. It consumes more energy to produce than it saves. And guess what? Virtually all the energy we have produced comes from gas and oil and coal. I mean, so the whole idea of the Green New Deal is a fantasy. It's stupid, but it's being used to manipulate the public on the ground of going, well, just as we heard of Bill Gates, you know, they want us to eat manufactured food. They got basic plans to eat crickets. They're going to make this phony food. We're going to eat bugs for the rest of our life because there's a phony alleged climate change. Joe Olson and I have done a series that has 9 installments on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, Anti-Global Warming. You can find it under AGW. But right off the bat, we explain that there's not even a correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of the Earth. If there's no correlation, then there cannot be a causal relation. Even when there are correlations, there can be arguments about causation. We know vaccine autism, for example, are positively correlated. If you have more vax, you have more autism, less vax, less autism, smoking and cancer. The tobacco industry spent decades, untold millions and millions of dollars putting up the legal defense that smoking did not cause cancer, that even if there were a correlation, it wasn't provable. We know now, of course, that that was all phony baloney. That was all PR because they wanted to maintain their profit margin. But I'm telling you, this whole idea of CO2 as being a threat, CO2 actually cools the earth in four different ways. CO2 is indispensable to plant life. Plants use CO2 to produce oxygen. Without oxygen, there cannot be life on earth. So the whole thing is a calamitous swindle. It's a fraud of unprecedented dimensions. And when you have airheads like AOC, for example, panicking because life on Earth is going to come to an end in 5 years, it's just ridiculous. She's a brainless twit. And then you got another in the vice president. I mean, and then you got a demented guy as a president. And then Obama's pulling the strings behind the scene, and Soros is pulling his strings, and Rothschild pulling his strings. I mean, it's all disgusting where we are. Brian, your further thoughts.
Well, one more thought on Southfront, something I picked up that I found really interesting. I haven't heard anything on it anywhere else. Is the Russians have been taking blood samples from their Ukrainian POWs, and they're finding in their blood all these weird pathogens that have come out of those bio labs in Ukraine. And they were a bit concerned about, you know, if their resistance goes down and these things are released, and they didn't quite know what to do about it. And I've read nothing about that anywhere else, but I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. No, that is. It's very appropriate that they should be looking at all the Ukrainians because of the biolabs. It may be they're contagious. In fact, there is this phenomenon known as shedding, that someone who's vaxxed can actually, as it were, transfer the effects and increase the amount of the population that's subjected. And you notice in that report coming from the article on my blog talking about Bill Gates going big time into food, they can put this vaccine in the food, and then you get vaccinated, you don't even know about it. It's an involuntary, and the consequences are going to be devastating. More thoughts, Brian?
Well, today I picked up that Vladimir Putin has outlawed a bunch of these Jewish NGOs in Russia. They've been told to pack up and leave. So I thought that was really heartening news. It just shows you that he's not part of the World Economic Forum anymore, if he ever was.
Yeah.
So that kind of made my day.
That's very good. I've been shocked by the number who have been suspicious of Vladimir Putin, whom I regard as the only true statesman astride the world stage today. He's the one guy putting up a fight. As I reported, Nathan Rothschild has singled out Vladimir Putin as the enemy of the New World Order, and that if they do not have Ukraine, they cannot pull it off. So I assert Vladimir Putin is fighting for all of humanity in Ukraine, and let us hope he succeeds. He must succeed. He is succeeding. There's a lot of other nonsense out there about what's going on in Ukraine, but I'm telling you, Vladimir Putin is fighting the good fight on behalf of every human being on planet Earth. If you want to squeeze one final thought or so in here, please be my guest, Brian.
Well, I think I've run out of thoughts for the day.
So,
I'll just say this. I know the Byzantine Christians for 1,000 years would not allow any Jewish people to be in their politics, be doctors or be teachers. And so I think they knew something we're seeing now. And one thing that's kind of disheartening to me is the fact that if you look at all the top leadership of the Democratic Party, they're all Jewish. Steven Spielberg was on there. That surprised me. But also the top leadership of the Republican Party is Jewish. So I worry when, you know, the Democrats are throwing out, they can just push a button with the Republicans and turn them into an exact copy of what the Democrats are. And so that just concerns me, why we have so many of these individuals in our top positions in this country. So that's my final thought.
Well, Brian, thanks for calling in and sharing your thoughts today. Most welcome. Meanwhile,
thank you.
Yep. Thanks for joining me. I want to encourage everyone. Really, it's worth subscribing. The Epoch Times is better, better. It's more reliable, more accurate than that rag known as the New York Times. It's embarrassingly bad that that's our nation's newspaper of record. And if you subscribe now to the Epoch Times, you can watch this wonderful video. Now, it doesn't cover every aspect, but by God, in terms of demonstrating the police brutality, how the Capitol Police were going absolutely out of their way to damage and harm the protesters. You can see this was a sadistic operation. It was clearly orchestrated in advance. Every effort was made to destroy the MAGA movement and tarnish Donald Trump, because they were going to appeal to this obscure provision of the 14th Amendment that anyone who participates in an insurrection against the United States may not hold public office. Well, they fear Donald Trump. It's evident in every single story you hear from MSNBC 24/7. They are constantly talking about a man who's not even president of the United States, and they fear him. They expect he's going to run again and clean their clock if they can't do something about it. And by the way, have another report that's rather interesting, suggesting that Trump and DeSantis have already formed an alliance and they're going to run together, which I think is very positive. DeSantis is very good. I think that's a great combination. I've also encouraged the very idea of Tulsi Gabbard, who may sound like an odd thought, but she's very mature. She's very intelligent. She's very responsible. And I think she'd be a great running mate. And also as a dark horse, Ron Johnson, my own senator from Wisconsin, he's doing a sensational job. And he's been especially good in going after the COVID. So if you want to check out more about Ron Johnson, go to my blog, jamesfetzer.org. My dear friend Kevin Barrett authored a piece about a presentation he gave at a Republican picnic event where I was present myself and got to meet the senator. I like him a lot. I endorse him 100%. Take care. Don't let yourself be played, and spend as much time as you can with your family, your loved ones, because truly, truly, we do not know how much time we have left.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hand of tyranny? No!
never.
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their